I've already said that it was a spooky night, with the darkness and the wind and the moon half covered with clouds. But the closer we got to that grove of Bodark trees, the spookier the night became. I can reveal here that entering dark groves of trees on dark, spooky nights has never been something I've enjoyed doing. And that goes double when I can hear voices coming from the dark grove of trees. And fellers, I could hear voices, whispering, mumbling, grumbling, rumbling voices. The only thing that kept me going was iron discipline and Drover. Not that he provided me with any help or encouragement, understand. Far from it. But I knew that if I showed any outward signs of fear, it would ruin him. I had to be a good example. That's part of my job. Well, we entered the dark, mysterious grove. The wind moaned and whistled through the trees, and their frozen branches made a terrible creaking sound. Then, suddenly, one of the voices rose to a high pitch, and I heard someone shriek, "Son, if you don't know where we're at, then what are we a-doing here?" "Huh?" I stopped in my tracks, and Drover ran into me. Gave both of us quite a scare.
"Hank, did you hear that? I heard a voice."
"Of course you heard a voice. That's what we've come to investigate."
"Yeah, but I think it's a ghost."
"A ghost? Don't be absurd. A ghost is nothing but a fragment of the imagination. That voice sounded familiar to me, and unless I miss my guess, we've cornered ourselves a couple of stray birds."
"Birds?"
"That's correct. Buzzards, to be exact. What they're doing in a place like this, I don't know, but we're fixing to find out. Come on, Drover, follow me and let me do the talking."
"That's fine with me. I've got nothing to say to a buzzard."
"Hush." I crept forward in the darkness, every muscle in my highly conditioned body tensed and ready for action. At the same time, my data banks were spewing out calculations on distance, lassitude, longitude, height, depth, speed, azimuth, apostrophe, and temperature. To give you an idea of how these things work, here are some of the numbers I was receiving from data control. 3, 17, 29, 2, 94, 354, 49, 1, 0.003, 3.56, and 1-800-555-1212. Pretty impressive, huh? Those were real numbers, every single one of them. And I don't need to mention that no ordinary dog could have produced so many real numbers in such a short span of time. As you can see from the readout, we were getting closer to the buzzard, so I shifted into the stealthy crouch mode. Stiffened my tail, extended my neck, raised my ears 2 notches, and switched the raised hackle circuit over from manual to automatic. In other words, I was ready to engage the enemy. Those buzzards were about to get the surprise of their... I'm not sure how I happened to run into them. We're still working a few little bugs out of the system, and now and then we get faulty numbers. You have to remember that it was very dark, and that buzzards are black. I ran into them is basically what happened, and I'll admit that it came as something of a shock. An even greater shock followed when one of them began to squawk and flap his wings. I think it was Junior. Yes, of course it was. Junior has a very distinctive way of speaking, and it would be hard to mistake him for anyone else, even on a dark night.
"I'm a wolf! I'm a wolf! Help! I need murder!"
"Junior, you hush up, quit hollering about wolves and figure it out how we're going to get out of this mess of trees. I never should have let you talk me into... Son, if you can't fly to wherever it is you're going, you shouldn't ought to go, is the way it looks to me."
"But, Pa, there's a..."
"There's a lesson to be learned is what there is, and the lesson is that a buzzard has no business."
There was a moment of dead silence. Then...
"Son, what is that thing I see? It's hairy, and it has a nose. Is that you?"
No, it's not me, not me."
"In that case, what do you reckon it might be?"
I think it's a wolf."
"A wolf?"
"Uh-huh, a big wolf."
Son, you have fooled around and got us in serious trouble. I told you we had no business tramping around in a bunch of dad gum trees. And now we... What are you going to say to that wolf?
Hi there, Mr. Wolf.
How's it going, Junior?
Oh, good gosh, Papa, it ain't a wolf at all. It's our doggy friend. Hi, doggy.
Who said what? Doggy friend?
Yeah, the one that's such a good...
Spit it out, son. Time's a-wasting.
Singer. The one that's such a good singer.
Wallace pushed his way forward and brought his beak right up to my nose.
You mean that hammer-headed ranch dog? Yes, it is. I see it is. The same no-count dog that has got you in so much trouble in the past. You keep away from my boy, dog, and don't you be giving him any more crazy ideas about becoming a singer when he grows up, if he ever does.
But Pa, I want to be a singer.
He wants to be a singer, so what's so bad about that?
You hush, dog. Nobody in this family. A singer's life is no life for my boy.
I had sort of stepped into the middle of a family squabble. Ordinarily, I don't do that, but Wallace had a way of getting on my nerves. Just because he sings doesn't mean he can't do the other things that buzzards do. Come to think of it, what do buzzards do?
We work the ditches and the highways to find our next meal because, puppy dog, nobody feeds a hungry buzzard. We get no handouts and no free meals in this business, and we never will because we have our pride and our dignity.
A buzzard has pride? What does a buzzard have to be proud of, if you don't mind me asking? Wallace stood straight up, tried to suck in his pot belly, and held his head high. As high as he could with a crooked neck.
We're proud of our buzzardhood, is what we're proud of, and proud of our glorious history. We're proud of cleaning up the highways, and we're proud that no self-respecting buzzard has ever taken a free handout from nobody. And most of all, we're proud to be proud.
We're proud and hungry at the two.
Yes, we are. We truly are. But just because we're poor and hungry and down on our luck don't mean that... Say, neighbor, I don't suppose that you have any food on you, do you? Just a scrap of something to get us by till our luck changes, like maybe a piece of dead rabbit or a tough old rooster that nobody wants?
Nope. We're fresh out of dead rabbits and old roosters.
So there you are, Junior. That's just the kind of friends you have, selfish and stingy, and don't give a rip for nobody but himself.
Yeah, but he can sing.
Son, the world's full of singers. What we need around here is a good, honest meal. Anybody can sing.
You can't.
Wallace glared at Junior, and Junior grinned at me.
I got him there because he can't sing.
I can too sing.
Can't.
Can.
Can't.
Can too. And what's more, I'll prove it. Y'all stand back and give me some room and I'll show you a thing or two.
I wouldn't have bet a nickel that the old buzzard could have carried a tune, but you know what? We moved back and gave him some room, and he tuned up his tonsils and spread his wings and sang a song called Buzzard Love.
When I was a young bird, a sly golden hummingbird, the handsomest buzzard you ever did see. The ladies all lined up and fought till they signed up to kiss me each day at the base of my tree. This one gal named Monique, she said that my technique was crude and stuck up and completely uncouth. She thought I was trying to impress them by lying, but shucks, I was trying to tell them the truth. Oh, buzzard love on the wings of a dove, you've left me here behind. When I took up women, was like I was swimming, you'd throw me a sinker instead of a line. but it came as a real surprise when she called me a miserable creep. To add to the drama, it seemed that her mama had moved in between us while I was asleep. Oh, buzzard love on the wings of a dove, you've left me here behind. When I took up women, it was like I was swimming. You throwed me a sinker. Wish I was hooked up. You dropped me a whitewash instead of a tear.